Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Between two harmless-looking buildings in a peaceful semi-suburban city block, a door lies. A seemingly ordinary businessman passing by looks once over his shoulder, stops walking, pulls out his phone as though to make a call in the nondescript doorway, then swiftly presses six code numbers into the discreet panel embedded beside the door. It swings open, a mouth to darkness, and the businessman ducks in. From the cold depths beneath the city comes a waft of The Gargle. Welcome, this is The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world, all of the news, none of the politics. I am your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Pierre Novelli. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And Kai Samra. Hello.
Hello. Also, I just want to take this opportunity to apologise for my voice. I don't know what's happened. I watched The Godfather a couple of days ago. Apparently my voice has now turned into Vito Corleone or something, but I feel like I should be making offers that people can't refuse. I don't know what's going on, but apologies to everyone listening.
I thought you were going to say you watched The Godfather and you were like cheering so loud that you...
Well, the movie, come on, the mafioso.
Well, before we strap a canary to our heads, tie ourselves together with a rope and plunge into the depths of this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front cover of the magazine. The front cover this week is Tom Cruise posing provocatively with the deal he just signed with Warner Brothers to develop original and franchise movies, which he will star in, which I'm very excited about. It means we can all have that weird feeling where we enjoy Tom Cruise being Tom Cruise in a movie while also having to contemplate the reality that his non-screen personhood is living in a very different dimension from the rest of us, and we can never know how creepy that is. I resent Tom Cruise because he makes me think, oh, there's something not right there, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. I never know whether that's me projecting that onto anybody who's just really, really nice. I just think no one could ever be that nice. And I feel like that says more about me than somebody like Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he has the eeriness of a vampire. It's he's too youthful. But you start to realize why medieval people were so superstitious about the youthful old. You think, yeah, there is something eldritch about him.
Apparently Christian Bale when he was in American Psycho, used Tom Cruise as his example, which I think, so yeah, maybe you're not, yeah, maybe there is something in that bit.
It's a thing of you're not asking whether he did a deal with the devil, you're wondering what subclauses are in his specific deal.
yeah, exactly. How well did you make the deal?
Can I do my own stunts in this deal?
Yeah, there's definitely a subclause about being able to still have really sort of really, really resilient knees as an older guy. Like he's jumping, he's landing hard on his ankles, and he's fine.
Yeah, big advert for Scientology, though.
Yeah.
If only the knees, if only because of the knees. That's a big USP of when I look for a cult. So the health benefits.
I just feel if you have adult children, you shouldn't be allowed to have pecs.
Yes, you'd need, your chest must go from square to rounder for every adult child. A little, an extra few degrees off the corner there, yeah.
And the satirical cartoon this week is a pregnant woman standing at the fork of two paths, each of which offers one of the two wildly different prevalent narratives about the process of birth giving, between the fully medical, book it in and get it chopped out under full anaesthetic on a Thursday at 10 a.m. so you don't miss your Friday hair appointment, or the full-on trust your woman's body, all pain is just an expression of externally imposed fear, ducks don't fear childbirth, what's the worst that can happen in childbirth, please don't look at history or statistics to answer that question. Got to choose one of those two forks. Look, it's not politics, but it is topical to me right now, is all I'm saying. Top story this week is property news. This is the news that company towns are coming back. This has been a creeping news story over the last few years that we have been returning to again and again. It looks like the multinational corporations are going back to the steam age in that they're starting to try and own people and the places they live. Pierre Novelli, you are an oil baron. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yes, as a 200-year-old industrialist, I can I find a lot to like in the story. There's a lot of familiar ground here. Basically, private companies in Silicon Valley have decided to start building housing, mainly for their employees, but not specifically. Anyone can come and live in a terrifying dystopian sort of suburb filled with robot wives. You know, I think that's going to be an option at some point. Really, they're going to go full. What's the movie with the robot wives?
Stepford.
Stepford Wives. That's right. Wives. I think their working title was Robot Wives. You can see why they went with them. Real spoiler territory there. Yeah, they're going to start prioritizing their employees, but renting out sort of like a suburb of the future, stylish apartment block, vegan barbecue on roof, you know, things like that. And it just shows that tech companies, especially when the economy gets shit, love to go back to the most traditional ways of making money. Land, oil, taking things, like all the best ways of making money. I think maybe Facebook could start selling cloves. They could import cloves from the East. You know, we get really traditional, get medieval. Maybe Peter Thiel could start selling indulgences. You know, if you have done sin, then his company, the f***ing Silmarillion, whatever it's called, they could start deleting your browser history if you feel sad about some porn you've seen. I think maybe there's a lot of potential here. But yeah, basically, we're going back to company towns, but with a kind of upper middle class bent to it.
Yes, they haven't got quite to the point where a bottle of Mountain Dew costs $1 more than your salary and then you go increasingly into indentured servitude. But I don't think it's not going to happen. Like, I'm not going to put money on that not happening.
Yeah, Google could have a company store, but it would sell mechanical keyboards and natural wine. I'm trying to think of a kind of crossover between coders and Silicon Valley types, I guess. Yeah. A yoga mat made from material from invented to accommodate some need of a private space launch. Yeah, it's not quite as insane as that, but it's getting there, and it is kind of proof that the private you know, hand of the market will eventually replace the state if the need is good enough, great enough, like housing. But it will be 22 years too late, and it will be mainly for shareholders and employees first. So it's kind of right that the market will provide, but too late and in a creepy way that won't help you immediately.
It's really weird. You are right. Because even when they were doing the space launches, I was thinking, is this the 60s? I was just like, what's going on? Then it goes medieval. But I had a weird experience with landlords recently. It was a few years ago. I moved to Catford, which should have been alarm bells anyway. But I met a landlord, very nice. I rented the room out from him. Like a month went by, 6 months went by, 12 months went by. And then a random person just knocked on my door and was like, who are you? I was like, who are you? And he was like, I own the property. And apparently I'd just be giving the money to a random person who nobody knew. And I was just like, this. I was essentially catfished for rent. And I feel like this is exactly the same way Mark Zuckerberg said it. I was thinking, if Instagram does landlords, that is essentially what is going to happen. So I'm very dubious about the whole thing. But also, I agree. I think whenever there's a product, I think the areas will inevitably just mirror the platform. You know, like Facebook will essentially just be a graveyard of people you grew up with but don't want to speak to anymore. That's slightly, it'd basically be Birmingham for me. That's what it would be like. So yeah, I'm very dubious of the whole thing, to be honest.
If Facebook can build a suburb half as good as they can tell me about discount Ray-Bans, then I'm excited.
Yeah, they'll definitely filter the hell out of
that. I'm excited to look into the bright lights of the future while wearing my discount Ray-Bans.
Yeah. I wouldn't live in a Bing house.
Yeah.
I'd live in a Google house. I wouldn't live in a Bing house.
Yeah, a TikTok house. I'd definitely stay clear of that. Actually, yeah, that's right. Which of the platforms, if they were doing a house, would you want to go to? I say LinkedIn.
Definitely
would be
a TikTok house.
No.
A TikTok house would be one of those things where, like, every 1 minute all of the rooms shift in, like, a disorienting M.C. Escher-style labyrinth flashback.
And you get locked out if you mention Tiananmen Square.
Yeah, and India don't recognise it, so my family are never going to come and visit.
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. Are you not happy with the soundscape you're in? Try downloading Otherware, our subscription ambient environment podcasting service that plays you the soothing sounds of somewhere you're not. At the office, try listening to the sound of a train. On a train, treat yourself to the soothing bustle of a busy cafe. In a busy cafe, try listening to the aggressive hush of a local library. Otherware, we'll be wherever you aren't. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Confirmation Bias. Of course it is. You believe me because I'm the one you believe, and you can retweet me without fact-checking. Even if I say something that's technically wrong, it's about someone you don't like, and they probably deserve it by virtue of probably having gotten away with something else equally bad in the past. Confirmation Bias. Of course it is. And do you have a grubby toddler in a public cafe, but you can't be bothered hoiking them to the bathroom to waterboard them clean? Try dipping your napkin in half a glass of water. Half a glass of water, the toddler's friend.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now it's time for creepy tech news. Yeah, it is. Not just creepy tech news in that they'll own your houses, but creepy tech news in the things that these people are willing to sell for money, including the controversial clothes hook spy camera now on sale at Amazon. Kai Samra, you've seen things you shouldn't. Can you unpack this story for us?
That was between us. So this is the story of how spy cameras are disguised as clothes hooks are being sold on Amazon, despite the firm being sued over the gadgets. A US judge recently ruled the retail giant must face a law case brought by a woman who alleges she was filmed in the bathroom using a clothes hook camera purchased on Amazon. Now, obviously, awful, awful thing. But initially when I read this, I was like, well, it's surely the person that committed the crime that's in the wrong as opposed to the person that supplied the thing. Like if, I don't know, like if Pierre chucked a bucket of KFC chicken on my head and then I got really, really angry and then just decided to sue Colonel Sanders, it'd be like, it's not his. Sorry, that's the worst metaphor I've ever used, by the way. But basically, I thought about it for a bit longer, used this little thing called my brain. And I was like, well, actually, it's only obviously just used for one literally the only purpose of that product is to spy on people. Like, there's literally nothing else. Like, it's obviously not decorative. Like, no one was ever like, oh, that spy camera really brings out the room, you know? Also, it kind of annoys me. I think the term spy gadget gets used way too liberally at the moment. You know, like when I think of gadgets, I think of like invisible cars, like x-ray glasses. I don't think of like a pervy coat hanger. You know, it's just like the worst episode of James Bond ever. You know, it's like when people kind of go, oh, that person's a legend. And it's like, he's not a legend. Like he just watched The Wire. That's it. Like, but I don't, it's bad. They already been sued over it. So I don't know how they're still allowed to, but it's still on there. I actually had a look, 199 quid, which is insane, I think.
Have you considered selling them yourself under Kai Samra's spy cameras?
Oh my God, this thing sells itself. Yeah, if this podcast brings nothing else, it's that idea. And yeah, hopefully be a millionaire this time next year.
It's so suspicious that it's a clothes hook as well, because it's so for when clothes are coming on and off.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's like a dentist's mirror on the top of a man's shoe. There's no way that you're selling this for a legitimate purpose. I just want to hold myself accountable that I'm hooking my bra on correctly. Like, there is no reason that you would be buying a clothes hook spy camera
I'm trying to check my consensual form. I'm trying to check my form. I rewind, I watch, I see if I could do it faster. Like watching a golf swing. That's all it's for. Seeing if I'm getting undressed in the best way.
Just trying to prove beyond reasonable doubt that I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like everyone else. Like, I don't.
Yeah. Someone's been leaving a lot of mints in my pockets, and so I think I need to get a camera to see who's doing that. What's the most suspicious? Clothes hanger is pretty suspicious to have a camera inside. Shower head, probably. Like, it's on the level where they're just like, it's a shower head camera, you know, for no reason.
Yeah, just in case somebody breaks into the house through the drain, you know. Obviously, you need it there.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Pierre, what have you brought in for us this week?
It is my toilet cistern. And just to keep the theme running of when I come on this podcast, things have broken in my house. It does seem to keep happening. My toilet is now ambitiously flushing forever. It never stops flushing. It's like a little water feature. It's like a little... I think my toilet has adopted a rise and grind mentality that I really admire. It's read all those accounts of guys who get up at 2 a.m. to do crunches and learn Mandarin, and it's decided to never, ever, ever stop flushing. And so I'm
just
giving
wants to it... be like the other guys's.
Yeah. 5 stars for ambition for my toilet cistern.
I kind of want to see it now after you said it was a water feature. If only you had a Kai Samra spy camera, then we could all view it.
It's just a camera for above a toilet to make sure it's still working. That's all it is. Please rate it on Amazon, verified purchases only. So 5 stars for my very ambitious toilet cistern. That is the reason why I had to get up early and go to Screwfix this morning and buy extra parts just to keep up with the work rate of my f***ing toilet. So that is 5 stars from me.
5 stars for the toilet cistern. Kai, what have you brought in for us?
So I am going to review, and I've thought very long and hard about this, pints of wine. Pints of wine are now making a bit of a comeback because of Brexit. Apparently, I read like politicians passed some sort of legislation to be able to sell pints of wine, and every manufacturer is like, "No, obviously not. That is a ridiculous idea." And I just like the idea of all these things coming out after pre-Brexit. Like, I just like the idea of like after Brexit, this country just turning into rubble, and just every Brexit voter sipping a pint of Pinot Grigio and just clutching a blue passport, being like, "This worked out really well." And also, I've got a bit of personal beef with the pints of wine. I remember being a kid, there was like a party, I was only like 7, and there was a bit of wine in a pint glass, and I thought it was juice. So that was like my first accidental exposure to booze. And then famously, like the England football manager, Sam Allardyce, got secretly recorded. I don't know if it's a spy camera.
With a clothes hook camera.
He got secretly recorded, like making all these dodgy deals, and he was clutching a pint glass of wine. And that triggered me quite a bit. Apparently, Winston Churchill used to drink a pint of champagne, but I'm guessing that's not in a pint glass. I just don't like where this is headed. I don't like pints of wine. I give pints of wine 1 star.
Well, it feels sort of like this pointless nostalgia for a Britain that didn't necessarily ever exist. Like, bring back the asp pit where we punish our enemies. That was the real England.
Yeah, bring back the Wittenagemot. They knew how to make a decision or two. Yeah, exactly.
Now it's time for copyright news. And this is the news that the New York Times is suing OpenAI, the OpenAI being the AI company, and Microsoft for copyright infringement, scraping their data in order to produce the work that their artificial intelligences do. Pierre Novelli, you're into computers. Can you unpack this story for us?
I am and I will. It turns out that it is illegal to do the AI equivalent of tracing around Mickey Mouse and trying to sell Mickey Mouse. And saying, no, it's not Mickey Mouse. I traced him. It's a new character.
That said,
Can we
just be clear, Mickey Mouse is now legally in the public domain.
Only the Steamboat Willie edition. If you take that charming little hat off him, the mouse is going to come for you. You better watch out.
If I had a penis, Steamboat Willie is what I would call my penis. And will.
It implies a sort of mercilessly mechanized aspect to it, the nickname there for your penis. A sort of, the march of progress is somehow attendant on it. The thing is that people who are good at things like coding AI and computers either don't believe in copyright because they grew up torrenting episodes of the US Office and getting Metallica through Napster, et cetera, or they just aren't very good at remembering things like copyright exist. So they saw no problem with saying to AI, you're allowed the whole internet. You can just eat the internet and whatever you shit out is going to be great because you've used all of human knowledge. Forgetting that the human knowledge was made by humans who still own the knowledge and now they want their money. And the New York Times is just the latest company to start doing this. Getty Images was taking some legal action as well because an AI was producing stock images that actually the AI had learned off Getty Images so comprehensively that Getty Images were sometimes appearing on the generated images from the AI. So they kind of f***ed their legal defense there.
And also, I mean, CEO Sam Altman has made a public statement saying that if they're forced to pay for all of the data that they use, if they're forced to pay as though it were data that they were using under copyright licenses, then they wouldn't be able to run the business that they're running. And he's making that as an argument why they should be allowed to do it for free.
Yeah.
And in fact, what he's done is made an argument for him not having a business.
Guys, if you make me pay, then I won't be able to keep training this robot that's going to destroy everything in society, okay? So which would you rather have, money or I destroy everything and you get no money? Okay, think very carefully about this offer I'm making you here. Yeah, exactly.
If I have to pay for everything I steal, then I won't be able to afford to run this fencing business.
Yeah, exactly. Also, if they've been using...
What's a poor Fagin to do?
Yeah, all these handkerchiefs that I've been stitching together need to be free or my quilt will never be done. Yeah. If they've been using the New York Times to train AI, it does explain why the AI is so bad at writing about anything to do with the UK or British life. It is as woefully misinformed about the UK as the New York Times tends to be. That does explain.
It's weird. I feel like as someone who's a massive technophobe, like my only reference points for AI growing up or like anything like this was just like the Terminator and just sci-fi films. And it's just nice. Well, I say nice. It's just like before we get there, like I just thought it went from AI to Skynet. And now it's just nice getting all these little things. Like, the Times are really annoyed. It's just like I like these little bits of the precursor before the insanity. I did actually, I actually didn't ever have ChatGPT. I just downloaded it today. And then I did say, do ChatGPT and OpenAI do anything illegal? And they go, we strive to operate within legal boundaries. And I was like, that's not that convincing. I just have to say, I mean, from the artificial horse's mouth, it's not that convincing.
Well, also, if you had your Terminator AIs based on the current AI technology, they would be deeply unoriginal in every action that they took.
Yeah. Yeah, or they would the AI would have learned how to be a killer robot from the movies and would therefore have accidentally taught itself to build in various weaknesses that are in the plots of various films. And we could just do that then. And the AI would go, yes, good, this is how it's supposed to happen. I've been trained on how to do this. Yeah, it's not even a brain, really. It is just like a blurry photograph of the internet. So people pretend it can think, but it can't actually think. It's just a kind of, it's just mega Google. It's Google search results put into the phraseology of a kind of slightly patronizing. I find that the AI responses, I don't know what you guys think, when they reply to your questions, they talk like Sunday school teachers or sort of quite overbearing.
Tom Cruise vibes, I think.
Yeah. Here's how it works here. We strive to, there's a very impersonal friendliness to it that I really hate.
Yeah, but I am quite polite back, just in case. In case of the carnage, I'll be like, hey, I did say please and thank you to you to 2024.
And that brings us to our final story for today. Social media news now. And this is the deeply upsetting news that social media apps made $11 billion from children and teens in 2022. That means that of the things that they sold through their websites, $11 billion worth of those sales were to the most vulnerable in society. Kai, you're young. Can you unpack this story for us?
This is the story about how a new Harvard study has shown that social media platforms last year generated $11 billion in revenue from advertising directed at young children and teenagers, including nearly $2 billion in ad profits derived from users aged 12 and under as well. And I don't know about you guys, I do kind of feel sorry for kids nowadays, because like, even like in the 90s, advertising for kids was so powerful. Like even to this day, like now, like when I'm not thinking conscious thoughts, like the screensaver for my brain will essentially just be like, Toys R Us, Toys R Us, Toys R Us. Which is very difficult when you've got a bad voice. But it's just, that is genuinely in my brain forever. That will just pop in. And you think about it, that was just one advert that as a kid I was exposed to on telly, like maybe once a day or once every 2 days. Like now it's just a stream of adverts that I just had programmed specially for you, just streaming into your brain from a device in your pocket. Like, I feel like future young adults will just have like just perpetual dreams and nightmares of like Prime energy drinks and stuff. It's just a bit weird. And even now, I can't deal with it.
Or worse, they're going to have nostalgic feelings for pictures of people popping blackheads in order to lure them into like scam doctor sites.
Yes. All the money from the under 12s. It's amazing how much of that money is from insane auto-generated 3D videos of like Spider-Man and Elsa from Frozen snowboarding and stuff. Have you seen those psychotic fake kids? They're terrifying. My nephew watches them sometimes and they're...
What are they? I haven't seen them.
They're like computer procedurally generated videos. Like, I don't think a human makes them. And they just have got 3D models of like Spider-Man, Elsa, the Hulk, Iron Man, maybe one of like Simba. And they're just sort of like jibbling around. It's like AI SpongeBob, but directed even lower than that. It looks like it's made on Gary's Mod, if you know what that is. It's...
Yeah, and you're pretty sure that that's what is produced when someone tells an AI to quote unquote lure some children in.
Yeah, just generic kids characters from different, completely different genres, just going and kind of snowboarding, and they just go, yeah, it does work. The AI has nailed kids' TV.
Yeah, it's weird. I think like the scary thing is it's just like advertised specifically for you, and even now when I like, I don't know, when I go into like when I go into my phone, like I'm kind of offended at the products they're advertising to me now. Like back in the day, it was like, you can go to Ibiza, have the time of your life. And now it's just like life insurance. this is what we feel like you need now. Cause it's obviously designed specifically for you. It's like, how dare you think I'm like that?
My Instagram is convinced that I'm bald. All my Instagram ads are about like hormone therapy for baldness, surgery for baldness, hair transplant. I don't know what I've clicked, but my Instagram footprint is so bald that I can't, I click, I'm not interested. I can't, there's no specific button for I have hair that I can tell it. So I keep saying, stop showing me this. And it just goes, well, he must want a different treatment for his baldness.
Yeah, he's in denial.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled to be able to announce that the other day on my Instagram, I got advertised a special bra for small boobs and a special swimsuit for extra big boobs. So despite having been on the internet for 20 years, the algorithm still doesn't know how big my rack is. And I feel like that is a badge of honor.
And that's despite... one of the main things the internet is for. That's one of the main things people use
it for. Despite decades online, my tits are still my own.
That's great that the robot's going, we know she has them, but that's all we know. We're going to have to really hedge our bets.
I actually bought a sofa recently, and then as soon as I bought it, all I ever got was just deals for other sofas. I was like, you just know I've bought one. How many sofas do you think I need? Yeah. I don't need any more.
This guy wants probably 100 sofas. This guy's bought one sofa in 1 week. If this trend continues, the amount of sofas he's going to buy this year...
He's got to sit on at least one thing a day, right? And that brings us to the end of the show. I'm flipping through the ads at the back of the magazine. Kai, have you got anything to plug?
Just social media. Just go on my Instagram. I feel bad after just slagging them off the entire show. Because I'm really like, go on my Instagram. Please follow me there. But just Instagram, Twitter.
Wonderful. And Pierre, have you got anything to plug?
Yes, indeed. I'm doing a Soho Theatre run in London of my 2023 Fringe show, and that's in late March, early April, so across Easter, 26th of March to the 6th of April. And then that show's going on tour in the autumn across the various places. So it's all on my website, pianovelli.com. Or, yes, my social media, where you can see for yourself how bald I'm not.
And I've got two specials out as a bundle you can get for £10. My last two solo shows, Twist and Kronos, at gofasterstripe.com. That's for £10 for the pair. Or if you sign up at my Patreon, patreon.com/AliceFraser, you get them and all of my stand-up specials of the last 8 years for free. So patreon.com/AliceFraser is the place to go. We also run weekly writers' meetings, which will continue to run with guest hosts through my mat leave, which will start sometime in the next 2 to 3 weeks. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.